We're going to talk about matters arising from the IFRS Interpretation Scope. Michael.
Thank you. And Wonky is going to introduce this topic to us today.
Is it his first presentation to the board?
I think it is.
It is, yes.
Okay, it will be kind.
This paper is a summary of the discussion at the January IFRS IC meeting on this issue. And the issue is whether the hedge accounting should be discontinued when an over-the-counter derivative, which has been designated as a hedging instrument, is novated from one counterparty to a central counterparty as new regulations. Interpretation committee noted that hedge accounting should be discontinued under IAS 39 because the existing derivative contract is derecognized and a new contract is to be recognized with a counterparty being the CCP. However, the interpretation committee was concerned about the consequence because this is the result of specific legislative change. And the consequence the submitter mentioned was that if a new derivative is designated as the hedging instrument, it would result in more hedging ineffectiveness for cash flow hedging. So the interpretation committee noted that continuing hedge accounting would provide more useful information to users. And the committee also noted that a change of legislation is because of G20 commitment. So therefore, the interpretation committee decided to recommend to the ISB to amend the IAS 39 so that continuation would be allowed. And it would be a limited scope amendment because this legislation change will be effective shortly. The interpretation committee discussed there would be two conditions. First one is that the amendment should be related to a novation as a result of legislative change, and also all parties are affected in the same way. And we think that the discussion was only in the context of IAS 39. We think that the same amendment should be made to IFRS 9. So if the board agrees, we think that the amendment should be as narrow as possible. It means that we shouldn't discuss or we shouldn't try to amend the novation in general. And at the same time, the amendment should be applicable regardless of jurisdiction. So the proposed amendment should have the three conditions, as you see in the page 4 of this ISB paper. The amendment should be applied only to an innovation required as a result of the legislation. And second, all parties to the original contract must be affected in the same way. And third, there should be no change to the terms of the derivative contract other than the change of counterparty. And besides, we think that to prevent diversity across jurisdiction, the amendment should not be limited to a specific law or regulation. And comment period. We think that a 90-day comment period would be appropriate because the proposed amendment would be short, and there will be broad consensus on the topic, and legislation will come into force shortly. So our questions to the ISB are that first, does the ISB agree that a narrow scope exception should be made to IAS 39 and IFRS 9? to allow the continuation of hedge accounting in the circumstances. And second, if the ISP agrees to amend the IS 39 and IFRS 9, does the ISP agree with the scope of the proposed amendment as set out in this paper? And third question is, does the ISP agree that a comment period of 90 days is justified in the circumstances? Thank you.
Thank you, Wanhee. Well done. Philippe?
Well, I agree with the need to do something, and I agree that it will affect many jurisdictions because this organization of the markets now, where more and more OTC derivatives will come under the clearing houses and will require some innovation. So there is an issue which is very widespread about how to deal with it. You mentioned amending IS 39. Yes, for those will remain under IS 39 at the time of this new legislation because IFRS 9 is not yet effective. Yes. About amending IFRS 9, which one? Is that the current project we just discussed a moment ago?
The new hedge accounting chapter.
Yes, chapter 6.
It'll be a bit tricky. We'll have to draft the ED to say equivalent changes will be made too. But I think...
Okay, so...
Because it's not necessarily going to be a one-off...
The question, I want to discuss a little bit the timing on the practicalities. We have just decided a moment ago that we wait for 2 months before we finalize Chapter 6. And it is urgent that it is finalized, but at the same time we say we need to make a further amendment to that Chapter 6 and we have 90 days. So does that mean we are going to have two IFRS 9s, Chapter 6, running at the same time, one finalized and one with... And the amendment to that one going, or can we just join the two projects? Isn't it more practical for our constituents to deal with only one chapter six?
We can look at that based on the timing. I think the only point is that we think that the exposure draft should be explicit that the change would be proposed both for 39 and IFRS 9, so it's been exposed for comment. You're right, based on however the timeline works, given what we've just been asked to do, maybe then we'd be able to roll it into the same document, which would be ideal, obviously. Otherwise, we'd do it as a consequential. It's a bit of an unusual situation when we're proposing amendments.
It almost leave a blank paragraph
in nines on it. It doesn't disturb the paragraph numbering.
Legal?
I have two questions. One is very similar to the ones raised by Philippe. I would not raise. And this one relates to the... what does mean change or not change the relationship? I remember at the end of 2007, right after I come here, Australia proposed changes because of regulatory changes. That is, the government require, firstly, government have the financial regulatory structure changes, and then as a result, require the big financial conglomerates to form like holding companies and in between from intermediate parent company. And the Australia proposed, you know, under such kind of condition, the banks have to restructure, but they propose to retain use carrying over approach rather than use purchase method, and the board all agree. But during the discussion, and even after we finalized that proposal, and the people expressed to us their worry, that is, you know, if we look at the whole restructure at point of time, it looks like nothing changed. But after that, they may have some, you know, foreign, you know, restructurings as a result of regulatory changes. And the line's not so easy to draw. And I don't want to have much burden to the staff, but please carefully discuss with some of the related countries or regulatory agencies or banks or others. And to make sure what does, you know, for example, the party changes or any consequential conceptual changes, and make it clear and what the limit we give them and whether we want to open a little bit of time horizon or not. And I clearly remember the Australia case. People basically said, you know, if look at a point of time, nothing changed. But it will not be the case, you know, over a day or over 2 days.
Amaru?
Thanks, Nish. I do agree this is a urgent matter as brought by the staff. I have only actually two questions on this. First, it's not really clear to me on your proposal that this will be limited to, of course, required by law or legislation or piece of regulation, limited to CCP's schemes or any kind of innovation. I think this is an important matter. And the second is, you mentioned, or could you please elaborate a little bit more about other jurisdictions? You briefly mentioned this on paragraph 13 in the appendix B of the paper presented to the IFRIC that is attached to this one. But it's very broad, the comment that you made here. So can you comment on these two points, please?
On the CCP schemes and limiting it to that, one of the conditions that is being proposed is that this is limited to circumstances where both parties, all parties, are subject to or affected in the same way. And so I don't quite see how we would then be opening it up to broader types of circumstances. What we did by insisting that it should be, or proposing that it should be, both parties affected in the same way, then we are ring-fencing this so that it doesn't include just voluntary novation or other kinds of novation where you're changing from one counterparty to another, but the other party is no longer involved. So that was how we were attempting to ring-fence this to this kind of situation.
So that, and just in complement to this, so the third condition and the only change actually is the counterparty. The other terms of the contract remain exactly the same, maturity
for each party involved.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And the second?
Other
jurisdictions.
Yes, I mean, this was driven through G20 commitments. And so as a result of that, we're obviously aware of specifically of the US changes in this regard as well. And given that it's a G20 thing, this is a global thing and potentially not limited to G20 countries. Other countries may also decide to make similar changes. And so we wanted to not make this jurisdictional specific, make it broader, hence the way in which we've made this proposal.
Thank you.
I've got two questions. Firstly, the recommendation is to allow a novation to be et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't say require. So why is it allow and why not require?
Well, I would say that hedge accounting is not a mandatory thing. It is a choice that you have, provided that you meet
certain
criteria.
Well, but we're already in hedge accounting, otherwise this doesn't apply.
Indeed, but one could choose to stop hedge accounting.
I think in 39 you can voluntarily de-designate anyway, so I think it's right to have allow in 39. In 9, arguably, if your risk management objective hasn't changed, you should probably continue because it's akin to the prohibition on voluntary de-designation. So I think it could be slightly different in 39 versus 9, actually.
If we think this is better accounting and we're in 9, then I don't see why we wouldn't require.
Yeah. I think we could
in 9, require would be more consistent with the standard.
Yeah.
If you required it in 39, then if a company wanted to stop, they could voluntarily de-designate anyway. So that allows you to keep the word consistent, I think, to require it in both. And then if they want to de-designate, they can.
Yeah.
Okay. My second question is, there's no mention of disclosures in here. Should there be a disclosure to highlight the fact that this has happened?
I agree, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's an event that would otherwise result in discontinuation of hedge accounting, and we're making an exception to this. So it would certainly make sense to me to propose a disclosure associated with
maybe
that.
Also with the spirit of Monday in mind?
Well, I think it should be
really necessary.
We think it's going to be an event that's going to happen once or twice.
It's a one-off disclosure.
Well, if the disclosure is there, at least people can find out whether someone plays foul or not. Because if it is this change, it's certainly more than one entity that does it. So,
in what way might they play foul?
Well, if they misinterpreted what regulatory change means and try to fit any other substitutional derivatives there.
On that point, I think if in IFRS 9 we require no need to do a lot of disclosures, just a one-off, say, in compliance, we did not de-designate. Now, if under IS 39 we permit to use this event as a cause for discontinuation, I think that would require a disclosure that, based on the new system, a company decided to de-designate and stop doing hedge accounting. I think that would require also a one-off disclosure, I think.
Wow. But why is this disclosure useful? I don't understand. Yeah. So what should this disclosure provide kind of information? If you disclose that you have done the novation and continued hedge accounting?
Yeah. I don't know. If you continue, I think
it seems like a technicality.
Yeah, but if you de-designate and use this event as a reason for de-designating and changing your hedging strategy.
Yeah, but under IAS 39, you can do it every time, and why you should disclose in this event? I don't know. Otherwise, you had to disclose all the kind of designation.
Spirit of Monday, okay? Mary? Thanks.
Support the idea of the board undertaking a focus project and the 90 days being appropriate in the circumstance. Just wanted to comment that, to me, it's the novation to SCCP as the critical event that drives doing this rather than regulation, because I don't think we would look to address or provide relief in any circumstance in which a widespread regulatory change raised accounting implications. So to me, I think the critical facts are that it's a novation to a CCP, no other changes, and that all parties to the original contract are affected in the same way. I think to me, the mandatory nature, the regulation helps explain why it's sufficiently widespread for us to take urgent action, and address this issue rather than it being one-off. But I just wouldn't want to leave the impression that whenever there's widespread regulation, we'll look to provide some relief. Every party is affected in the same way, and it's the change to central counterparty is what matters here.
Can I add further? Very simple. We just touched about the discontinuation, and this is exactly what I want to ask. At the beginning you say that nothing changed, the relationship. Nothing changed. But during the process, as a result of such kind of regulatory changes, and some companies want to discontinue their hedging relationship, and there are some other changes. So as a result, the relationship will still have some kind of changes. And similarly, this is why I linked to Australian case. The government restructuring a regulatory framework asked the bank to formulate an immediate holding company, and overall there will not be big changes, because the bank are enforced to change the organization structure. But there may be possibility some of the minority shareholders say, no, I don't like the government ideas. During process, they want to withdraw. This was raised during the discussions when we discussed the Australia proposal and after we finalized it. And this is why I raised these issues. What this means, relationship not change. And so please check. So this discontinuation or hedging is one example.
Yeah, I'd say it's the terms, the contractual terms that don't change rather than the relationships, because obviously you've changed from the counterparty being one particular party to the central clearing counterparty. So that relationship has clearly changed. The credit risk has therefore changed, and hence that's what triggers the problem that we're trying to address here.
EK?
Just a question. I do agree that a redesignation would create a fair value problem for the derivative instrument. You know, when I looked at this and I looked at your interpretation committee submission and the footnotes and all that stuff, this is mandated by a law and a commitment by all the G20 post-financial crisis, especially I think it's the Lehman Brothers issue which created this issue. Now, when is the effective date of this legislation? Because I see in your footnote that the European Commission did it on December 19th or something like that, but I didn't see the effective date. The reason I'm asking this question is that with all the 90 days, the staff drafting, pre-ballot, ballot, 90 days, whatever, are we really addressing the market need? Is there a better way to deal with this issue? Because I honestly believe that this is... there's no change in the contractual relationship. Okay, you can quibble and say that there is a party inserted in between, but nothing has changed in my mind.
I think that from what I understand from a European perspective, the timetable that we've got is all right, but I was told yesterday that for those who have got derivative contracts in the US, because of the timing of Dodd-Frank, the 90 days might be a bit long.
Yes. So I'm just thinking, is this, I kind of got persuaded with your view B in the interpretation committee submission, and I just felt that, you know, this is something we can do it, if it is possible, in a much more elegant way rather than changing 39. I know we can change 39 to get to where we want to, but I don't know how we can do it. I really feel the reason I'm going with the view B is because our response to address to the need in the marketplace. That's the reason I'm being persuaded to see if there's any other elegant way to do this.
I don't think there's a way to do it that doesn't involve us changing the literature, because we've the interpretation.
Can we just say that in this situation we don't?
Amend IFRS like that?
No, it's the interpretation committee gives its opinion on as a disposal.
They have.
As an agenda discussion.
They've said that you
I know, but I'm pushing it back to them. That's what I'm saying. Because this has been too delayed.
We could look at a shorter comment period. But
yeah, I do something. Maybe we can go to a comment period.
60-day comment period, maybe. Subject to
the
process.
What's the minimum that we have? I mean, this...
I think 30, but I think we'd be pushing it with the Due Process Oversight Committee.
Is it contentious?
Yeah,
isn't it?
I think we should go for 30 days.
It's not contentious. Everyone will agree. Yeah. So.
Let's go for 30 days.
And it's a technicality, to be honest with
you. I'll take the blame of the Due Process Committee. If let's see what the minimum is that we need.
Hans, I had a question. Yeah. Just want to clarify something. And Mike, you know, I sent you a note over the weekend, and it kind of follows up on the words that PK just used. In my mind, nothing has really changed. Okay? The question I have is this accounting that we, relief that we're going to provide here, is it limited solely to changes of the name of the counterparty? And the reason I ask is that if you move to a CCP arrangement, there could be potentially changes in collateral requirements, settlement terms. Would those things upset the apple cart here?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make that clear. All right. Because in many cases, that'll be the case. And I'm not sure this provides much relief.
Do we need to go through the questions one by one, or can we simply agree with the staff proposal?
I don't agree with the 90-day, though.
It's 30 days, so we can go for 30 days on the basis that it's exceptionally urgent.
It is.
Short document that we think there will be broad consensus.
I think it means all of them.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. brings us to the end to this part of this part of the meeting. We reconvene at 12:30 to talk about the revenue recognition.